Blog Talk Radio.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
Everybody, welcome to a nicely roasted BYO Brilliance. Yes, we're roasting up here. And you know that weather person? Well, you and I are no longer friends. We're on the outs, I'm telling you. Telling me that it's going to be one temperature and then it always ends up 10 degrees hotter is not helping me. All right, I'll just get that little bit of sweat off my chest. Okay, now, it's an excellent time to talk about mental health because when it's really hot, guess what? People really release their demons. And I'm saying demons because it's a negative sounding term for somebody who might possibly have any kind of emotional or behavioral issues. Listen, stigma associated with mental health is bad. Support good, stigma bad. It's beyond just like it's an unkind thing to do. The reality is that when people constantly meet stigma for just anything to do with mental health, if they hear it, they see it, it's in movies all the time, people go on and on about it. You even have celebrities like, I have to call you out there, Mr. Cruz, who go on and on about people who have mental health issues, they just need to, I guess, become Scientologists. And maybe you could just ignore the fact that you actually have a brain issue that's going on. Because quite honestly, mental health issues are not imagined. And it's not all just something where you decide that you've got a problem. They have documentation of people's brains, and you can actually see the differences between people. For instance, let's take PTSD. I'm not going to get too technical about this, but if you know anything about the brain, there's a portion in your brain. It's centralized on the deep on the inside, and it's called the hippocampus. And when you see a normal picture, there's these little spaces, it looks like little spaces, that are a certain way. They have a certain, probably the best way to describe it is, it's almost like a little tiny shape of a balloon. Not quite round, but more full. And then when somebody has experienced extreme situations of PTSD, many other mental health, emotional or behavioral issues, then that changes. It is no longer like this spatial, inflated spatial looking thing. It's actually more depressed. I was not trying to make a pun there. It's flattened out. It's more flattened out. So however you want to look at somebody who might possibly have a mental health issue, you must understand, this is very important for you to understand, that it's not much different than somebody who's lost their arm. Hopefully, the mental health issues that you're experiencing can be managed by some behavioral changes and steps or, group therapy. There's all kinds of options. Sometimes it involves medicine. And I'm just a little bit hesitant to say that because I am on the psychological side of mental health. What I'm in training for versus the psychiatric side of mental health, which tends to involve medicine, prescribing medications for people. Not all psychiatrists prescribe medication for all their patients. And there are changes now in the mental health industry where some psychologists actually prescribe medication. My choice to seek training in psychology was because I am not particularly into prescriptions for my own self personally, and I'm always looking for a way to surmount whatever's going on in my life with changes in my behavior, changes in my thinking, some other way to get around it. It's not to say that medications are bad, because I believe that there's a validity for medications, especially with mental health or any kind of physical issue or bout of dis-ease. But that's just my personal choice, because I would rather try to help somebody manage what's going on. And if I find that somebody is not able to manage, if it's too difficult, if it means their quality of life is just not working with some of the steps that I've been trained to help them with, I would support medical prescription treatment completely. And that's when I would bring on board either a general physician, one's general physician, or I would bring on or refer a psychiatrist or consult with one. So anyway, I'm just giving you this information because we're going to try to delve into the issues with the stigma associated with mental health seeking in hopes that people can understand there is no shame whatsoever in seeking mental health. Mental health balance. Let me go with that, mental health balance. Because just like you seek somebody to help with your vision, if you're finding that you can't see as well and, you know, the big game is coming up, well, by golly, you're going to try to figure out a way to see that game really well. Or you find that you can't read anymore, then you're going to go see an ophthalmologist or the eye doctor or somebody, optometrist, somebody to help you figure out a way to manage that. If it's something else, maybe you're dealing with fertility issues, should there be any shame associated with you having some fertility issues? Whether the fertility issues are found with your partner or with yourself, or possibly that you're single and you're seeking to use artificial insemination. There's no shame in that. there's no shame in seeking assistance if your weight is, if you're having trouble with either gaining weight or losing weight, if there's some kind of eating disorder. There shouldn't be any shame. It should, not my favorite word. But mental health issues are the ones that are that tend to be unseen. We may see the results of somebody having an imbalance because maybe they're obsessive about something or they repeat themselves all the time. People often do that, and they are not necessarily Alzheimer's patients. They do it because there's sometimes an issue going on with their memory, or there might have actually been some cranial damage or some kind of concussion or something that's taken place. Stop and think about how you would feel if somebody you loved had a heart attack. It's not really easy to see that somebody had a heart attack unless they had possibly some partial, see what the heat does for me. And yes, anyway, if this, it could be something where somebody is, has a paralysis, that's the word. If somebody has like partial paralysis, that's usually when you kind of have some idea that something's happened inside somebody's body, that maybe they had an issue with their heart or there was something to do with the brain. But technically, you don't see their heart being damaged or broken, and you normally feel compassion towards somebody like that. We need to feel the same compassion to somebody who's got a brain that's taken some hits, or the emotional side of it. So behavior is not necessarily, and maybe this is probably why people think that there's an issue that they can judge from when we were in school and some children were acting out. Guess what? A lot of those children are acting out because there's some emotional issues going on related to horrific behaviors that are taking place in their household. Maybe they're being beaten at home. You don't know that. You just see a kid that always seems to be bothersome, and you say all these horrible things about them, or you and your friends in high school made fun of them. You don't know what's on the other side of behaviors that don't seem quite normal to you, or why somebody seems to cry or run out of the room when you talk about ice cream. You just never know where it's going to take place. So I'm asking, I'm hoping that everybody who's listening to me can take a step towards compassion to what you don't know and what you don't see. I'm not asking you to go out and get a degree. I'm not asking you to go out and study and research everything you can find about every kind of mental health disorder that's out there. Listen, I just got my new book. Well, it's the Bible. Well, okay, it's not the Holy Bible, but it's the Bible for psychologists and psychiatrists. It's a diagnostic manual, and it lists all of our, all of the disorders that tend to be associated with human beings and how to deal with them, symptoms. That is a gigantic book, and there's a lot of information that I've been covering for many years in my academic career towards my PhD. But that's, I don't know all of it. And most psychologists who first start out in training don't know all of it. So I certainly wouldn't expect you to know, and you don't even, well, most of you don't go out and buy that extremely expensive book just to try to understand why your neighbor has a fit every time a leaf falls on their yard. You just don't know. So let's go over some things, okay? We're going to talk about how to find a good therapist if you are certainly looking to find one. But before that, let's talk about a little bit more about the stigma. One of the things that we need to understand is stigmas, when people experience stigma, there are side effects that come with it. For instance, now here's a great website, especially for college students, no matter what age you are, and you could use this website whether you're a college student or not. Nobody's going to check your credentials. It's called ulife.org, and it's an online resource for college mental health. So here's one of the things that they talk about with stigma and how to handle negative associations and reactions to emotional health issues. They talk about what it looks like, and they talk about how it can be really overt or subtle. Overt stigma is, okay, there's a classic thing you see in films, and I'll talk about that because the Filmcology that I do on Thursdays. The overt stigma that we see, I'll cite from, for instance, the movie, that one of the movies that I reviewed last Thursday was Bringing Up Baby. It's from 1938. So it tells you how this has been going on for ages because, well, we're human beings. We're not perfect. We just keep working on, I don't know, either getting there or just getting along. But anyways, in the film, there's a whole lot of hijinks going on about this leopard that is tame, and these people are trying to find this tame leopard because there's also a leopard that's not tame, that got loose, but nobody really knows that except a couple of these characters. And they find this leopard on top of somebody's house. Well, the house that the leopard has, the roof that the leopard has jumped onto, happens to be the house of a, I believe it's a psychiatrist. And they use stereotypical descriptions for him. It's a romantic comedy. And that therapist, that psychiatrist, well, they sort of take pot shots at him, like Freud being overly obsessive, etc. But at one point, the character who's trying to get the leopard starts singing because the leopard likes this particular song. So as she's singing it, the people in the house, the psychiatrist and his wife, they look out at this woman who's singing up at their roof, unbeknownst to them that there's a leopard up there, and they think that she's got problems. And so the therapist's wife says, oh, go down to her, honey. She needs help. And he goes down to her to try to help her, and she says, there's a leopard on your roof. And he says, oh, yeah, there's a leopard on my roof. And so as he's trying to make her think that he's there to help her, he says, yes, there's a leopard on my roof, and there's a leopard right here in my hand. And we have, and then he starts making up all these sort of condescending things about all these other things that are around them. And she looks at him and she goes, hey, there's nothing there. And so she's trying to pull away from him because now she's looking at the therapist that he, like he's crazy. That's really overt about people who, quote unquote, see things that are not there. We see that in movies all the time. It's a gag. But unfortunately, if you do have an emotional issue or a behavioral issue and you see things like that, it's basically supporting the fact that you there's something wrong with you and that people want to get the heck away from you or that you're dangerous. So that's very overt. The one that's very subtle, and this one most people experience in society, somebody will be talking about somebody's brother or son or cousin or mother, and they'll say, oh, where's such and such? Oh, we haven't seen her for a while. And then they immediately go to the very quiet whisper, you know, her mother's institutionalized. And sometimes they'll even put their hand in front of their mouth as if there's this big secret we have to tell about somebody else who is wise enough to seek help versus somebody who just goes and gets a gun and shoots up a McDonald's or something because they're not getting the help and they're afraid to seek help and everybody belittles them for doing so. Okay, so overt and subtle, here are some of the side effects of that. When somebody has these issues of mental health and then they're afraid to seek help because of the way they'll be looked at and put down, then they just hold it in. Or they try to. When you're coming apart at the seams because something has really traumatized you, a lot of times you don't know what to do. People who are traumatized to a strong degree often feel like they're drowning, and it's like they're trying to grab a hold of something to keep from drowning, and they can't catch a hold of anything. I used to work crisis clinic many years ago. There's a lot of chronically ill people that would call in, and sometimes that 10 minutes that they would call in, they would check in, some of them every day. We had files on people that were extremely disturbed, and what kept them from having to be institutionalized was that they had that crisis clinic lifeline. And so they would call in, and we would talk to them about what was going on in their life. We would try to support how they're doing, how well they've done since their last appointment, and we would constantly refer some of the issues that arose for either that night back to their therapist, and find out when their next appointment was going to be, if they sounded like they needed a little more help or they were feeling more frenetic, then we would talk about them contacting their therapist and getting a second appointment or a third appointment for that week. So if you're afraid to call into crisis clinic, even somebody who doesn't know who you are, even the files that we kept for people that were chronically mentally ill that would call in, it didn't have their social security numbers. We didn't have pictures of their house. It wasn't like somebody was rushing over there to point out that somebody lived in this particular house. They were, you know, based on the constant calling, and you, after a while, you realize that this is the same person, the same voice, and it was a way for us to help support them and their therapist to help their quality of life. Well, if you're not even willing to do that because maybe your friends make fun of crazies that they believe are crazy on the street, people associate a lot of homeless people with mental illness. So, let's see. That would pretty much mean most of America in the last 3 to 5 years is crazy, because there's a lot of homeless people in America that lost their homes because of the economic downturns and their jobs. Do we believe that they're all mentally ill? Are they having emotional disturbances? I would think so. I'd be a little bit disturbed if I had three children. I didn't have enough money to feed them. I didn't have enough money to pay my mortgage. And then I get the big boom. My boss has to let me go because he no longer has the economic resources to keep his people working. And now I've got three children and who I could barely feed. And now we're going to get kicked out on the street. You think that might cause a little bit of emotional disturbance? It might actually cause some behavioral issues because you may not think about what you're doing when you're driving. You might start crying when you're driving. You may not even be able to see well. You might end up in an accident. And it's like things can spiral downhill really easily. But if you were to take a look at what would happen if we were supportive, like, hey, you know, if you're feeling overwhelmed, this is how it would sound. If your friend comes to you and they're upset because they're losing their job, da-da-da, hey, you know, if you're feeling overwhelmed financially, you might want to consider contacting someone. If they start bawling and they tell you that they're going to lose, their life is over, that's a little bit stronger than I'm feeling really depressed. People say, they use the word depressed, they use it inaccurately all the time, but if somebody just tells you they're depressed because they lost their job, they don't know what they're going to do, you might want to consider letting them know that there are other resources, there's community mental health, and they should probably look into that, because, not because they can't talk to you, but because they may not feel comfortable with you knowing all of the ins and outs of what's going on in their personal life, financially and otherwise. And it's a way to support them without judging them. So think about doing that. And it's not, and if they say, hey, I'm not crazy, it's like, no, I'm not saying you're crazy. It's just that sometimes we need to talk to someone and know that there's nobody else that's going to know about it. Because listen, people have told me a lot of things before I started training in this profession. It's been going on most of my life, almost like I'm some kind of priest. And even when I tested in college for different careers, what came up time and time again were priest, cleric, and all that. But unfortunately, the other side of the coin... that's my therapeutic assistants, Pepper and Ty. Anyway, so try to ignore them. I do the best I can. And anyways, so here's the other side of the coin with what I was trying to say, if I can remember that. Thank you, Pepper. The other side of the coin from the therapeutic side, oh, here it is. When people would tell me things, this happened many times, people that I would kind of know, acquaintances, whatever, sometimes friends, family, they'd tell me some deep, dark secret about their life, whether it was some sexual situation they got into that they're thinking twice about, or maybe they got pregnant, had an abortion, or whatever. Whatever it is that they've done that they feel uncomfortable about or emotional about, then it's nice to get it off your chest, to let it loose, but when you tell somebody that's in your life that you know or you see all the time, sometimes it starts working on the back of your mind. Are they thinking about what I told them last week about my husband? Are they thinking about what I did with my brother-in-law? Or are they thinking that I'm a heathen because I said I hate God last week? There's all that stuff that when you go see a therapist, whether you're having severe mental health issues or you just fed up and you need to vent that you don't generally have to deal with if it's somebody outside of your family and your friendship. So, listen, therapists seeking mental health, it's a good thing for all of us. I'm training to be a psychologist. I've utilized a licensed social worker. I have utilized a registered counselor. I have utilized a psychiatrist. Oh, yes. Was really heavy on the medication, not my cup of tea. She wasn't the right one for me. I also saw a psychologist who never listened to a word I said. It was bizarre. So there can be a lot of issues with seeking mental health. The main thing that I'm trying to get through to you all is to just seek it. It's out there, and there's options. There's low-cost options. There's sliding scale options. If you have no money and you need to see a therapist, you just need to get with that Yellow Pages, contact somebody that's near you that you can somehow get to, and explain that you're having some issues. Explain that you don't have any finances at the time or possibly any insurance. If you're in Canada, you're lucky because they roll out the carpet for you somehow. Here in America, you're mercurial as to what you're going to get depending on what state you live in and your community, how rural it is or how metropolitan. Maybe there's not a whole lot of therapists. Maybe you live in a town where there's only one therapist. But if you do live in a town with only one therapist, most likely that therapist is trained to deal with living in close quarters to his community or her community to deal with that so that, you know, you should be able to see them just like you would a priest and know that they're not going to go to your best friend or your teacher and tell them that you put nutmeg in your potato salad or something. I'm just trying to give a little, as my friend Mel said, levity to the situation. Okay, so the other thing is how to cope with your stigma, but the stigma that's out there. If you're the one feeling like you're being shunned in some way, it's just as important for you to get educated as the people that are being idiotic, because it will help you to understand how important it is for you to continue with seeking help, regardless of other people's issues. Remember, other people's issues, that's for them to work out. Clearly they've got them if they feel they need to pick on somebody who is injured. And accept the help when you're seeking it. And realize, this is really huge, you are not your condition. When you have a broken leg, are you a broken leg? No. You're not a heart attack if you have a heart attack. You've experienced a heart attack. When you're having a mental health issue, whether it's emotional or physical or behavioral, you're going through a phase of some sort. Some people are a little more severely disturbed in their life. Maybe they're experiencing schizophrenia. Maybe they're experiencing some other. There's a lot of disorders. I don't even have time to read them all, probably in a week, and explain them to you. But there's a lot of disorders out there, and they're disorders because they actually make your life disordered. And it's when we're out of that sort of order that it's hard for us to grasp a hold of something and stabilize ourselves. So we seek help, okay? So you are who you are. For instance, it's me. I the reason I saw those therapists, I was brutally assaulted on the job. Guess what happens when you're assaulted or you're raped or you're beaten up or you've experienced child abuse? All those, maybe you were in a climatic disaster. That's more common now than ever. People are getting whomped on by Mother Nature left and right. I don't necessarily believe that Mother Nature is, you know, trying to get us back for something. Maybe a little bit, I don't know. But the reality is nature happens. It's just part of life. But doesn't mean that it doesn't affect us. So if you went through Katrina or you went through a tsunami, you're not a tsunami or a Katrina, hurricane. You're experiencing the after effects, like I did from my brutal assault. So the best thing for me was to seek help. Otherwise, well, I don't know. I don't know if I would be here. When you're depressed or you become depressed, your thinking is kind of like somebody's emptied several fifths of alcohol in you and you are not thinking straight. Things that you wouldn't normally think may occur to you. And when you're in that sort of depressed stupor and you actually try to do or act on those things that you're thinking that are not you, you could harm someone else or you could harm yourself. And that would be tragic. So we seek assistance to help us rebalance, right? And I know because I've been there, and yet I'm a mental health, I'm in training to be a mental health professional. Doesn't mean that I'm permanently damaged. But even if I hadn't experienced an assault, as a therapist, I'm going to hear a lot of things that may be tragic and may be very sad. And I have a lot of compassion. I have a lot of empathy for people going through a rough time, probably why I'm in this profession. So I need to release that, and I don't need to release it with my friends and family. They don't need it. And quite honestly, you deserve better. Whatever you tell me doesn't need to, it's not fodder for my Friday night fun times. That's just not who I am. And hopefully that's not the kind of therapist that you're going to end up with. So get involved, folks, with anything that you can that supports people, treating everyone with respect and care that may encounter any kind of illness, any kind. Don't look down on anybody who's got an illness, because an illness means that most likely you're not in control of it. You may have done something to help it along, but it doesn't mean that you're choosing to be depressed. Most people don't do that. Or whatever disorder you're experiencing. Okay, so that's with stigma. Let's talk about how to find a therapist. Nina, on our show yesterday, Ellen B., she had talked to a professional in Canada with the Canadian, I believe it's the Canadian Mental Health Commission. She spoke, or their alliance, she spoke with him about what's going on and the campaigns for stigma associated with seeking mental health and all that. But the other thing that you may find with some of these websites, whether it's the National Mental Health Institute or Institute of Mental Health or if you go to the National Alliance of Mental Help and Information, these websites give you a lot of information to help you understand what is probably better for you to look for a therapist. And somebody that would fit me may not fit you. It's nice when people give referrals to a therapist. I'll tell you why I generally would shy away from that. If your friend says, oh, hey, if you need a good therapist, I went and saw Dr. Such and Such when I was going through my divorce, and Dr. Such and Such is excellent. Okay, it's really nice that they're actually giving you the okay to, not that you need their permission, but they're being positive and supporting you that you might possibly need to seek some assistance. But then it comes to an issue of confidentiality. And that is a big stickler in our profession. I think that psychologists and psychiatrists need to be treated more like regular doctors or nutritionists and all that, because it would help eliminate the stigma. It shouldn't be that we're walking around and you see your therapist and you run the other direction for fear that the friends you're with are going to see that you know a doctor who's a head shrink, as they call us. But for now, the way things are, it's probably better for you to just find somebody independent of who your friends and family suggest. Because then you know that that therapist is not likely to be asked questions about you, is not likely to have somebody sharing information about you, because when they go in to see the therapist, here's a conversation that could take place. Oh, I told my best friend Nina to come in. She's having issues with her husband, too. I think that she called you. Did she call you? If she didn't call you, maybe I should give you her number. Yeah, people do that. Unfortunately, way too much. The other thing that can happen is down the road, it's like, you know, I was talking to my friend Nina, and she said that you didn't prescribe the same medications for her that you prescribed for me. That's when the therapist is now starting to cross over confidentiality issues, and you really want to avoid that. So thank the person who's giving you some kind of referral. Take that referral and as a goodwill and seek somebody on your own. That's my suggestion. You're certainly welcome to do whatever it is that you want to do. So when you're going out and you're looking for a therapist, if you're the kind of person that's very quiet, you don't talk a lot, you're pretty shy, when your first session or two of a therapist, you're probably going to have a clue as to how well you're going to work with that person. If that person, when you sit down and they start asking you a barrage of questions, and you find that you're not able to answer all of them because they are sort of rushing you through it, if you're starting to feel uncomfortable, then it's probably not going to be a good fit. There are therapists out there that sort of don't get into the caring mode until after a couple of sessions. I'm not saying it's right. It's just that happens. And some therapists, when you walk in, now this would make me a little unnerved, you walk in and you sit down and they ask you, why are you here? And so you start to give your information, and you only get from them is a bunch of guttural grunts and okay, oh. But meanwhile, they're writing the whole time. And if you're starting to feel more and more uncomfortable and you feel like they don't want to share whatever it is they're writing about you, then that's probably a red flag as far as you meshing well with that particular therapist. One of the first things that you're going to want to get out when you first go see a therapist is, I'm looking for somebody that I can deal with my problem. If you're just for short term, maybe just 6 sessions, or if you think it may possibly take longer than 6 months or something, then you need to try to explain that to the therapist and ask. If I find that this first session and the second session that we aren't meshing well, what would be your protocol? Now, they may say, well, I think that I'm going to help. I can help you just as good as anybody else, and I don't see any reason why you would need to go see someone else. I'm qualified. If they start getting defensive as if you're questioning their training, no matter what they say, I'm going to recommend that you seek another different therapist. Because if you're going to have to start dealing with somebody else's ego on top of your problem, it's going to be an even bigger problem. But they hopefully will say, well, we can both see how things go for the first or second session. And if you find that things aren't working out, I can give you a referral, or I can give you we can talk about some of the things that you feel that you're either not getting and whether I'm able to give that to you or not. You may find that that's enough for a therapist to understand that their particular demeanor is not working with you. But it's really important for you to find somebody that you feel comfortable with. And it's some people you feel comfortable right away. I didn't feel comfortable with any of the therapists I had to see for the assault that I went through on my job right away. The one that I ended up being most comfortable with, the licensed social worker, she did not speak a whole lot in the beginning, but she would ask questions here and there, and if I became emotional, she would let my emotions out. She always had Kleenex. Always had Kleenex nearby. A wise therapist invests in Kleenex. But the other ones, it was almost like I was invisible. And after a couple sessions, unfortunately, it didn't change. For me, I had some issues with the job sending me to one therapist, and they don't really want you to bounce all over. But what it did is it made my therapy take a lot longer than it needed to. But, So seek somebody that sort of matches your demeanor. If you're extremely shy, you're probably going to have a therapist who's going to talk a little bit more than you. But you'll still know whether you feel comfortable or not when you're in their presence. And if you feel like you can't verbalize how you feel or your issues, pen to paper, folks, just write it out. You don't have to write it out in the session. You can write out your questions or your issues about the previous sessions, or even what you want to talk about. You can write it out and bring it in and hand it to the therapist. And the therapist can then take the sessions and try to help direct you from there. So there's other options. I wouldn't suggest somebody else coming to therapy with you. There are special cases where that happens, but it's one of the difficult things that you need to really try to do manage on your own. So those are some main issues as far as trying to find a therapist that works for you. Let's see. I got another. Psychology Today, they have some suggestions. They actually tell you to ask who your friends and are in therapy with, if they like their therapist. Okay, Psychology Today, they're really well accepted and they're all right. They don't always give the best information, but, you know, we already talked about asking your friends or family. Here's the other thing. You know, with all the stigma going on, you may not know that your friends and family are going to a therapist, right? So you can ask them, but then would that mean you're trying to call them out? Maybe you heard that they were in therapy and they didn't tell you. And for you to go and say, hey, I heard you were in therapy, you know, what therapist are you seeing? That wouldn't probably turn out to be a good conversation. It would make somebody uncomfortable. They also suggest that you shop online. That's possible. There are a lot of websites that bring up data on different therapists, and people will write in there, I use this therapist for this and I was very happy. So I've seen some where the person said, this therapist never listened to me, you know, go somewhere else. There's a lot out there. So mind you, those are strangers, you don't really know them, and it's based on their opinion, but it may give you a little less biased opinion than your friends and family who may think you need to be with someone they think you need to be with. They also suggest that the picture of the therapist gives you a better idea of whether that's somebody that you would work well with. Possibly, judging a book by its cover kind of thing. Yeah, okay. They're saying if you do find a therapist based on their picture, make sure it's a professional looking picture and not a picture of them on the water skiing or something like that. Sort of unprofessional. So they also suggest looking at whether the person, what the person's gender is and how that affects you. If you're somebody who has always had a problem communicating with women, and like whether you're a guy or a girl, if you're a woman and you have trouble talking with women, you may want to seek a therapist who's a guy, and vice versa. Or if you're male and you find you've never been able to talk to women, so you might want to seek a woman therapist to help you transition out of that. Or you might want to just stick with a guy, because if you're not willing to talk or disclose anything and you basically sit in your sessions and say nothing, well, you're wasting a lot of your money. A lot of your money. And it's not cheap, unless, you know, maybe somebody's paying for you to go. So the other thing is they talk about the theoretical orientation. Okay, that's a little complex. Some people actually believe that different type of therapeutic modalities are better. Some therapists are still strict Freudian believers in his psychoanalysis, and if you want to go into psychoanalysis for the next 20, 30 years, which is very common on the East Coast, then hey, you know, that makes you happy, where you just kind of go in and you just, you know, file out a bunch of stuff for an hour, and then you, like a confession, like if you're in the Catholic confessional, then maybe that's what's right for you. If you're somebody who has all of a sudden found that you're having irregularities in your golf swing, maybe, you probably don't want to go psychoanalysis for the next 19 years. You probably just want to help get someone to help you figure out why all of a sudden you're having this crazy block. And that can probably be done in a few sessions. And you may find that while you're there, other things come up that help you, you deal with that, and you find everything else in your life may open up. So this is the other thing that's very important, and try this. Please try this. Call the therapist, even if you don't like talking on the phone. Give them a call. Explain that you're trying to find a therapist and some what the reasons why you're trying to find a therapist. They may not be trained or have an expertise in the kind of things that you're looking to work on. Maybe you're looking for some, like the person with the golf swing issue. It's sort of a sports therapeutic issue, not necessarily a physical therapist, but there's some kind of mental block. If you're looking for somebody to work with your family, it would be better for you to find a marriage and family therapist who is a little more trained. Their training is more targeted towards helping families get through therapy and couples get through therapy, or prepare couples for a life of some kind of bliss together. So you usually can look in the Yellow Pages or online, and they actually list them by the type of therapies that they do. If you're a really, really knowledgeable person about therapeutic modalities, and you definitely want a gestalt therapist, well, you're going to have to look. There's still some out there, and there's just, you hear what I'm saying, there's a lot of steps to go through, and even though you may feel like you're in immediate need of help, which is valid, in which case, take the first therapist on the list you see, but if you're trying to find someone who can seriously help you with whatever your issue is, you need to put some effort and investment into finding the right person for you. Okay, so this has been sort of bifold, seeking mental health, the brilliance of doing that. If I could leave you with one thing, I would say this, that it takes a wise, extremely wise person to understand that they need help or that something is not quite, well, let me see, I don't want to say quite right, but something's out of balance in their life. And mental health to me, whether it's mental or physical or even your social health or spiritual health, it all is about, it's all a balancing issue. And if something is off and it continues to spiral more out of balance, it's time to seek help. Don't be the dumb person, and I'm going to say dumb. Sorry, folks. Neighbor time. But the dumb person is the person who refuses to acknowledge that something is off. If you had an accident and you've actually broken your toe and you just think, there's nothing wrong with it, but your toe starts to turn black and your toe is getting smelly, or your toe, your big toe is starting to shrivel to something that looks like a raisin, and you're just blowing it off as, oh, I just, you know, need to put some ointment on it. How dumb is that? Don't be that person. And don't let your life shrivel away to nothing because somebody else has an issue with their own personal health. Stand up for yourself, even when nobody else will. And, you know, the stigma be hanged. You're more important than somebody else's misconceptions or misunderstandings about who you are and what you need and what anybody needs. So I will always tell people to seek mental health balance, whether you're experiencing severe issues or not. Just, hey, maybe just go see a therapist once if you, you know, find a couple of hundred bucks around, or, yeah, you got insurance, you could do it. And a lot of jobs have what they call making life easier or employee assistance programs where you can get up to like 8 free sessions to just go and see a therapist to talk about whatever. It doesn't even have to be work related, just so that to help you stay in balance and supported. So just go. Maybe just take one session and say, I just want to know what it's like. And you may not realize it, but you'll probably come up with something to talk about. Even if it's this annoying Brenda character in her annoying, brilliant shows that you wish would quit, you never know where your conversations will lead. And even when I went for PTSD, I ended up talking about a lot of my childhood issues, and it helped me out a lot. Things that I didn't even really think about too much, but it was affecting my life. So you never know. You never know. Don't put somebody else down, and don't let somebody else put you down. You know, choose a better life for yourself. Okay. I know there was a caller that was on earlier. I apologize. I did not get a chance to get to you. I will try to be a little better at checking out who's on the line. And I keep forgetting to put the number out there, folks. I'm just a little baby Bunting radio person. I'm going to get going. I'll get better soon. But I do appreciate all of you that call in or you listen on archive, because this is volunteer work for me. There's no cash coming into my pocket, but I do believe that it's important for me to give back to my community, and this is something that's very important to me, enough so that I'm chosen to devote the last 10 years of my life towards a way to help other people. So here are some of the episodes. Oh, did you have something to say, Nina? We got our manager
on the
air.
Yes, I did, Brenda. I just want to thank you for your show tonight. You gave a lot of valuable information out there for everybody, and I'm sure it will help.
I hope so. Thanks, sweetie. Okay.
You're very welcome.
The next session on the essence of Success Radio Network, the network that's owned by a woman and run by women, but it is for everybody, no matter what shape, size, or condition they're in. And the next show is in the studio with Lennis, and she's going to be focusing on the mental health from the perspective of how people with mental health issues, how they affect their relationships, or if you're in a relationship with somebody who's got mental health issues, how that affects you. So it's a real interesting perspective. I can't wait to hear how that goes. And let's see. Oh, the caller did call back. Let me see real quickly if there's... Hold on just a second, folks. Bring the caller in.
Hello.
Yes,
hello?
You calling to speak or just listen?
Just listen.
Okay.
Speak, listen.
Well,
pardon me.
Go ahead.
No, what?
Okay,
what
so
do you want to say?
Yeah, we're actually just wrapping up the show for the Seeking Mental Health Issues. I was just checking to see if there's... Oh, okay. Well, I'll just go ahead and put you back on mute, sweetie. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you. You
Hold
have
on
a
just a second.
Night.
I'm going to finish up the shows. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Then let's see. Oh, in the studio with Lennis, her show's at 7 p.m. tomorrow. So pop on in there. She also talks about what's going on with entertainment and sports, and so I'm sure she's going to have a lot to say about what's been going on with the Cups. Okay. And then on Thursday, we'll be back for Filmcology. That's Film and Psychology. We take a look at a film and the psychology that's taking place, either with the film, the characters, or and how that can affect us or whatever. And the film this Thursday at 6 p.m. is Nuts with Barbara Streisand. And that's going to give us a look into some of the seedier aspects of being in the mental health system, which is supporting my thoughts that it's best to seek help. Get on top of it before you don't have a choice. And then the next show will be Friday at 5 p.m., Friday Traffic Jams. And I believe they're going to have a special show on Friday with Lennis, be an hour, and she's going to focus on one of her favorite artists, Andrea Bocelli.
No, it's smooth jazz. It's smooth jazz.
What?
She's changed it around. It's smooth jazz this week.
Oh, okay.
No opera.
Well, you know what? From now on, it's just like, you know, you're just going to have to listen and see what she's doing, because I don't know what she does with her thought processes on that. But it's always an hour. It's always interesting, and it helps you, you know, take you into your weekend, folks. So, you know, it's sort of like going
music
to a
therapy.
Different restaurant every Friday. You never know what you're going to get, but it's always going to be good, right? Okay.
Yeah.
And then we're on to Saturday. Saturday at 2 p.m. Pacific time, we're going to have Lydia with Time to Love with Lydia Pello, and her show is Loving Yourself is Mentally Healthy. It's a mentally healthy thing to love yourself. And she is so right about that. So, Lydia always has a unique way of spinning things for us, but it's always about loving yourself. And then on Sunday, we have psychic readings with Lennis at 3 p.m. Pacific time. And I was there last Sunday, and all I can say is, if you're not calling early, you may not get on. Because she must have had 10, 12, 15 people still waiting online for almost an hour to get through. So she's the hot ticket on Sunday. So call early, folks. She's still got the special going on where the ninth caller gets a free reading, hour reading. That's worth $60. And that's every ninth caller. So if you remember, folks, it's one question. And if everybody sticks to that, I believe we could at least get two people with a free psychic hour reading. So let's try to do that next
week.
Yeah,
I'm going to be.
Everybody keep it to
one
question.
I'm going to actually be popping in. I'm going to be popping in.
You're going to be popping in?
If you go over. Yeah, I'm going to go pop in and be live for Lennis' psychic readings, because I'm going to pop in and put a timer on everybody. So Lennis can do only one question, because we have lots of people that want a question answered. So we have to be fair to everybody.
Snap,
so I'm going to
snap.
Play the heavy.
The manager is taking charge. So.
Yeah, I'm going to play the heavy, and that's the way it's got to be, because I don't want to see anybody disappointed. Lennis is, knows her stuff, and everybody deserves to have their one question asked.
Yeah. And she's trying to help as many people as she can, folks. So if you don't get in, and you've, like, a couple of weeks in a row, you haven't gotten in, maybe go to her website, the Essence of Success. .com, is it? Yeah.
Yep.
The Essence of Success .com, or is it Essence of Success Radio Network?
I think it's Essence of Success.com.
You can go there and say that you've tried to get through for a couple of weeks and you weren't able to. And she might be able to work something out with you to, you know, somehow on the radio. So. Just she's really a nice person, and she really does want to help as many people as she can in her own funky, funny way. So Anyways, is there more shows? Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
Monday.
Ours.
Monday we have Ellen B. Passage to Empowerment, and the show this coming Monday is How Does Social Networking Affect Your Empowerment? Yeah, we're going to talk about social networks, folks, Twitter and Facebook and whatever else that's out there that we can think of, Instagrams and all that. How is it affecting you? You know, what are you, is it helping or hurting your current lifestyle? So join us at 7 p.m. on Monday. And then it brings us back to Tuesday. And Tuesday at 6 p.m., we're going to talk about the brilliance of empowering your life with color. And we're going to have like a couple of color show issues. Well, actually, that's the main one, color. And then the week after that, it's feng shui, I believe. But anyways, the brilliance of empowering your life with color. Color affects your psychological outlook. Yes, you know, there's a reason why when you wear yellow, you tend to be a little more upbeat and happy than when you're wearing a really dark plum color. Not that a dark plum color isn't pretty and elegant, but because colors can infuse your moods, you might want to manage them depending on what you're getting ready to do with your day or your evening. So join in and we'll talk about the psychology of color in your life. All right, that's it, everybody. Thank you for joining in. I know that Oprah had everyone take a vow to not text and drive at the same time. I think we here need to start taking a vow at not stigmatizing people who seek mental help or anything to do with the mental health profession. So I'm taking that vow that I'm going to support all people who are seeking help.
I am too. I'll take that vow right with you.
And I hope we keep this rolling. You take that vow and help yourself, because a world in which we have balanced mental health is a much safer world for us all to live in. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us. And I'll see you back here tomorrow or whenever. You got a whole week of us. Yeah, you just throw a stone. You'll hit one of us. Never mind with that negative connotation. Just like, join in, and we'll all talk about something fun or good. You'll learn something somewhere. Right?
You bet.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good night. Live with brilliance.
Thank you, Brenda.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Good night, everyone.